Hello and welcome to Radio SAR. Radio SAR means student action and also means correct in Palestinian Arabic. We are an autonomous student collective aiming to give a voice to all the kids and students out there.
Dead bodies, mutilated ideals, paralyzed thoughts, internalized fear, commercialized dreams, automated denial, pathetic conformity. Why do you lock yourself in their prison? Kill the cup inside your brain and let's link up our arms.
It doesn't really matter where you are. Nearly 80% of the people who die in wars of civilians are women and children. And people who are displaced and the people who suffer poverty from wars are children. So I think, it is an important issue in the anti-war movement to think about how women are particularly adversely affected by war. Not just, the country that's being attacked, but for instance, in the United States, people who are unfairly taxed to fund wars tend to be poorer women.
It's a very important issue to talk about because from my very personal experience being involved in the LSE Stop the War Coalition, we experienced that, women speak proportionally less in the meeting. I had people telling me, women telling me that they don't really feel comfortable. And there's actually a feminist group that set itself up, sort of alongside the LSE Stop the War Coalition, to have, sort of a safe room where only women meet and they can sort out issues there as well, alongside the LSE Stop the War Coalition, which is not sectarian in any way, but it's just an addition to that. And a proportionate response to the problem that actually exists. So I think it's important to talk about it.
I would be concerned if I wanted to work just with men and felt that there were reasons for us to work just with men. Because I think that, the relations between everyone, men and women, whoever, are explored.
When women say, well, we want a woman-only space, I can perfectly respect that need and not question it and abide by those rules, if you like. I mean, again, there's maybe a sort of, maybe a lesson there from sort of queer movements where if people say, people say, well, why do you want to go have sort of gay pubs or gay organisations? And the answer is, well, society is straight, 90% of the time it's a straight-only thing. So if you want it sort of the other way, then sometimes you do want your own space to actually talk about things that you sort of share.
And I mean, it is a fact that apparently men have a tendency to overwhelm discussions, but this is a really general issue about gender rather than an issue restricted to the peace movement. So it's about discussion in general.
I mean, in my group, at my university, I haven't had any problems personally with, any kind of sexism in our group. But were we to have problems of that, it would not be tolerated.
Like, women have great ideas, but it tends to be the men that, seize on those ideas and take them over. And I think the only way to go about it, because we are, sort of grown up in a system where there is a gender bias and we are sort of all have it, we all carry it around with us and we take it into the movement, I think it's really, an issue of self-reflection.
I mean, I would say it's definitely socialization and conditioning. I mean, women are not encouraged to, in at least the society I grew up in, to express their opinion, be belligerent, be strong-willed. I mean, my whole life I've been told to shut up. But, the same thing doesn't happen with a man, and it's not anyone's fault anymore. It's just, unfortunately, the way that things are conditioned, and we need to work on changing that.
The women, through a sort of self-consciousness process, should address themselves and try to address the barrier that might be present already within the institutionalized relationship between men and women in society.
So if you, put in a relatively hostile environment, then you don't have the same start, and it takes even... For me, if I'm in a meeting, it takes some courage to actually say something. And if you feel it's not a safe environment, then it's sort of, it's also on the participants to make sure that it is a safe environment for whoever is there to say whatever they want and whatever they need to.
I think of the general stereotypical half-truths about the movement from Trotskyites' obsession with Lenin and Trotsky and lots of male revolutionaries storming in there and with brute strength or whatever. And this is not to say that many women don't actively partake in fighting police or black bloc tactics or sabotage, but still a very kind of masked up, running in there, post-action pub, sitting there, rah, I did this, I did that, I can lift a lead pipe better than you can kind of atmosphere. And how, as women, we can work to make sure that everyone can be included and activism can have a more female substance to it.
The stereotype of a woman in activism is kind of the peacenik, you know, sitting around and like flowers in her hair. And in a way, I think that could be used to our advantage, because the kind of machismo that you're talking about, like people sitting in the pub saying, like, I've hit so many policemen and I've, like, you know, knocked down so many windows or whatever. I mean, that's not necessarily a particularly useful approach. Then there are many, original, inventive and kind of peaceful ways of getting a message across. And I think women have a huge part to play. Well, in both, I mean, I'm not saying that if women wanted to take on kind of, direct action in the traditional sense, that they shouldn't be encouraged to do so. But I think that we have a lot to offer in terms of, like, thinking of more interesting and more peaceful kind of protests.
Yeah, this is called Kylie's Us. Thank you.
it's not certain that being creative is a female category and not being, and being rational, it's a male category. It comes down to the individual person and how much the individual person is able to address himself as being both creative and sort of action determined. And so it transcends the question of gender.
And my personal experience was that then I found, maybe it's just, you know, sort of, you know, my female friends, you know, but they're much more risk takers than myself. I mean, like, if it really gets to an action that's risky, you know, it's usually the men. And I also have, like, male friends who would rather chicken out at an earlier stage than women. And so I think, you know, that's also something that's that we should take notice of.
You know, like you were talking about the Russian Revolution before, and the same can be seen like in the relationship between Lenin and Krupskaya, and how Krupskaya was an incredible theoretician, but she was completely, you know, kind of overshadowed by the glorification of Lenin as this almost demigod in Russian society. This is a problem, again, of social perception, like we were talking about before. And also the social perception that women do get involved in politics because of relationships. And I think, you know, it is a problem, but, I mean, if we kind of say that they only get involved in politics because of that, then we're almost being sexist ourselves, you know. And the point is that, you know, we have to just accept that people have sexual relationships. And if they're both political people, you know, be it coincidence or be it a direct causal link, is personal between them.
It should equally be the woman's complete choice to choose whether she wants to be in a relationship or not be in a relationship, and that if she is in a relationship with somebody whose views are the same or who's involved in the same activities, that shouldn't, like, be to her detriment. She shouldn't be seen as being in his shadow.
I think, I guess the difference between being influenced by people and being influenced by one person who is your lover is what marks it for me, because I'm thinking of an instance right now of an American friend back in the States who had absolutely no opinion on the Israeli-Palestinian issue and never bothered herself whatsoever, and then started dating a Zionist, and he told her his side of the story, and she absolutely refused to listen to my side of the story or anyone else's side of the story. And I think it's ridiculous to claim that she's not being influenced solely by him and, you know, in an unhealthy way.
I think what that demonstrates is not necessarily a gender issue. I think it demonstrates somebody who's willing to take on a political belief without educating themselves first. And I think that whether you're a man or a woman is a very negative thing. And I mean, I've known guys that do the same thing. I've got members of my family that, you know, basically repeat the political beliefs of their parents. And have they read up on the history of it? No. But that's a convention that they've assumed socially, be it their friends, their family, whatever. And the same thing could be said about the war. I mean, there is a significant part of the population, it's fluctuating, but I would argue that it's the majority of the population, that feel very uncomfortable about the war taking place, and I'd say that they were against it had they known all the facts. But a lot of information comes to people through very kind of wrongly or like badly filtered channels like the mass media, and so you'll have a whole load of people that are pro-war, that are defending a political position not on the basis of a master's degree or a doctorate in political philosophy or political theory or history or whatever you want to call it. They're doing it on the basis of an instinct and an assumption. I think sexual relationships are can be instinctive, but I don't think the people that are involved in sexual relationships are by definition unrational.
I've had relationships with very liberated men, but sometimes, you know, like I will have studied something whereas they will have not, but they will refuse to accept my opinion or judgment on it and accuse me of trying to push my opinion on them when in fact I'm merely trying to tell them what I've learned.
I got very concerned that women suddenly felt the need that they need a safe space, and, you know, like it just exposed the gender divide and that there actually is a problem, because why otherwise would he organize in a separate group?
What it comes down to is because of the socially, you know, kind of engineered settings in which relationships take place, is that there is generally a lack of respect for women.
I have joined the movement mainly by meeting with women, and I have seen that, at least in Kings, there is certainly a very strong presence of women, not only in the organizing a bit sort of not only doing the sort of the work for the movement, but as well as representing the voice of the movement.
So maybe we just get personal and talk about relationships within the movement and how people have, I mean, whether people have been involved in sort of personal or sexual relationships with women or men in the movement, and how what your feelings are on that, or just any other observances you have about that fact. You think there's a peace and love, everyone? Is that important? When they come to make on that.
All of us must have completely different experiences with what socialisation we've been given, considering we stem from very different families. I myself was raised by two feminists, and my mother is a very strong figure, and my grandmother is a very strong figure, and we have a history of very strong women and men who do the cooking. So I don't have a problem with my level of belligerence in one way, maybe in another way. But and I think maybe that expresses another problem, which is that I completely reject the notion of post-feminism, that we've moved beyond the need. But I do think that the feminist movement has impacted on our society in very vital ways. And what I was talking about, the reaction of men to maybe my opinion sometimes, is that they have taken feminist values and they've taken them, and they haven't taken them as equality as such, but as an attack, as something they maybe need to defend against. And they feel they need to defend against strong female figures and their opinions, rather than accepting their strength and responding with strength.
I mean, like, also from my experience, when we invited outside speakers, it was really difficult to get women because there don't seem to be that many prominent women around. We have, like, Tariq Ali and George Galloway and Jeremy Corbyn, and then it always comes down, oh, yeah, Lindsay German, you know, like, sort of representing, you know, like, the women, even though she's, like, someone that doesn't even believe in, you know, like, feminism.
I was a literature student a number of years ago, and I went to the feminist lectures, and after about 6 weeks of these lectures, it ended up that I was the only man in the room. And you know, it was a sort of funny thing, because actually in general the lectures were fairly male sort of dominated, but this was the exception. It was quite an interesting sort of experience, and maybe I had a kind of funny take about that as well, because I'm gay, and because it's a slightly different relation to those kind of structures maybe than sort of being a heterosexual sort of male.
We need to start approaching our lives and our sexual relationships in an atmosphere that gives us freedom. We need to use our consciousness to make sure that our lives best embody the freedom we're trying to create in the wider world.